Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Meg Robinson. On today's podcast, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber interviews Harvest staff member Heidi Record about what she learned recently as she took her first overseas mission trip to Nigeria.
Heidi, we're so glad to have you here on this podcast today.
Thank you so much for asking me to come, Jerry. I really appreciate the chance to talk about it.
That's awesome. And, of course, obviously today, for those listeners, Heidi's on our staff as our treasurer. But we're not talking today about her staff role. We're talking about a recent trip she took, her very first overseas mission trip to Nigeria with some Harvest missionaries, Peter and Miriam Fredheim. Heidi, can you share a little bit about what you saw God do even before the trip?
So I had been on two domestic trips before, but all the years of having kids, I just never had a peace about traveling and taking the length of time that you need for international more so. But the Lord just really opened that this year. We became empty nesters. But still the two biggest obstacles for me were the time with my work schedule and then the money. And I had gone to the informational meeting in March and kept saying to Barb, I can't go. If God doesn't bring the money, I can't go. And God did incredible miracles for me in both time and money. And I was given the time, no questions asked, and He did miracles with the money. Came from places I never would have thought. So he really took any obstacles out of the way.
That's awesome. Time and money, two commodities that most people think they could use some more of, right?
Absolutely.
So you obviously have known the Fredheims for a number of years and seen them when they would come here. What was it like to see them on the field in their own environment and to see the ministries that they are involved with?
It was so helpful. It's one thing to have them, and Peter has been so informative over the years, videos he has shown, pictures, stories he's told, but to see it is completely different. And I couldn't have imagined what I got to see, the magnitude of what they do. It's amazing. And Peter does a really good job of giving you the visual overview. You visit a lot of the ministries, so that's really helpful. And it was very, very helpful to see it and see what they do.
What were some of the, let's talk about the trip itself. Mm-hmm. What were some of the things that you were involved with on this trip, some of those ministries?
Right. So we went to the prisons and got to pray with the women in the prisons. We went to the brothels that were in Jos. We went to a few of those. So we did those each once. And then we visited the transition houses, which is where the teenage boys live and the teenage girls. We saw those. We spent a couple sessions with the teenage boys, doing some different activities with them. We spent another bulk of our time in the village of Gero. That's where one of the care centers are. There's three care centers that house about 100 to 150 kids each. And one of those is in Gero, which is outside of Jos. It's not that far, but the roads are so bad, it's about a half hour. We helped with a VBS there, four times. And we thought we were going to be doing one ministry, but God really changed the course for Barb and I. It was incredible to see the unity that the Lord gave Barb and I on the trip and where He did end up leading us to serve.
When you mentioned Barb, of course, it's Barb Seidel, who went on the trip with Heidi. Mm-hmm. Give us an idea what a care center is like. What's the average a child in that care center? What's mm-hmm. their background?
So children as young as age 5 will be there, and at the care center, they're on up to about age 13. Once they become a teenager and there is space in the teenage transition houses, then they will move to those transition houses. And it's neat because then there's another living opportunity for them once they graduate from high school. But at Garrow, it's kids age 5 to 13. There's boys and girls. They live in separate compounds. They have house parents. There's a staff that cooks for them. But it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
And are all of them orphans?
Not necessarily. That's why it's called a care center and not an orphanage, because quite a few of the kids are not orphans. They've just been abandoned. Either a parent doesn't want them anymore, the grandparents have been caring for them and just can't. So there's quite a few that are not orphans.
Yeah. So here you are in Nigeria. Peter and Miriam Fredheim have this broad ministry, mm-hmm. prisoners, and they have a ministry in what's called Blind Town with the
right.
blind, and then
right.
there's the medical with the women, mm-hmm. the brothels, these care centers, on and on. It keeps getting multiplied.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, I believe, when you got back, that having seen us support them financially,
mm-hmm.
You always supported that, but then getting there, it maybe gave you a little added perspective on that. You want to elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So I'm the treasurer, like you had mentioned, and so I've seen the monthly support go both to Peter and Miriam as SIM missionaries, but also to city ministries, as Harvest has supported the church planting aspect of the ministry. But we were given the opportunity to sit down with two of those men that do the church planting in the north. We aren't able to go up there for safety reasons, but we had the opportunity to sit down with them and actually hear where the money that Harvest is sending is being used to impact these villages, and it's absolutely incredible to hear their stories.
It is incredible. I remember Peter telling me, I mean, it's $50 a month supports a church planter, which is
right.
crazy. You can't support
right.
a church planter in the U.S. for that. And they're going into the northern part of Nigeria, very dangerous areas.
Right.
A lot of terrorists and all kind of problems like that. And Peter's told me that, you know, sometimes they don't even for a while know where the church planters are because they don't have the best communication and all that. But through the years, to see them go up and
yeah.
people that have come to Christ and churches mm-hmm. have been planted and they've mm-hmm. dug the wells and started there with the water, and it attracts people, and it's just awesome. So it's a great ministry. Can you tell us what you learned on this trip?
Mm-hmm.
This was your
mm-hmm.
first mission trip. What did
right.
you learn? What did God show you?
Right. I think the Lord just gave us an incredible opportunity. You know, I'm relational, but I enjoy smaller groups. And God completely opened the door for us to work with a small group. We worked with the 14 newest boys to the ministry. So they had just been dropped off in the last couple of weeks. They range in age from 5 to almost 12. And it just was so hard for me to wrap my mind around a 12-year-old not wanted anymore from his family. And so our heart just went out to these boys. They stay at the main ministry headquarters for about a year. That's called Gidon Bege, which means House of Hope in Nigerian, or Hausa. And we set up a VBS. God did it. Leanne Wilson, who's another Harvest member, had sent some VBS crafts with us, and the Lord just really pulled together a really neat VBS. So we spent most of our time with these boys, and it's changed my life. It's changed my life.
Yeah. Speaking of those boys, you have talked to us, of course, here in prayer service and church service about actually adopting some of these boys for $25 or $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
They can be cared for. And right now, it's in the hundreds, is it? I'm correct, that need
right.
to be There's, adopted.
Mm-hmm. Almost
just
500.
Talk just a little bit about that, and because mm-hmm. we'll make it available for people who are hearing this if they want to adopt one.
Okay. So SIM, the mission organization that Peter and Miriam have gone with, they have an avenue for child sponsorship. The nice thing about this is just about all of the money goes to the boys. And what this is doing, it costs about $100 a month for a boy to be fed, clothed, get an education, medical care, the salary, which is very small, for their house parent. And the sponsorship program, they're asking for people to consider $50 a month, which is about half of the need. If people can't, maybe 25 or go in with another family. And so sponsoring a child, you can sign up for recurring donations, however you want to do that through SIM. It's tax deductible. You'll get a statement from SIM at the end of the year. And you're helping a child to be able to have basic needs. We're not talking a wardrobe here. We're talking one pair of pants and one shirt that they're given at a couple different times throughout the year. And then you would get communication back. Quarterly is the goal. This program was in place and then has gone through some changes. The people in charge retired. So now what they're setting up is to have that be done quarterly. And so I'm starting small. I'm starting hoping to get the 14 Gidon Bege boys sponsored. I've gotten almost half. And if I get 14, I will be thrilled and then expand on from there. And we'll just see what the Lord does. It's His. And I'm just praying for His work to be done here.
So if somebody's, obviously I think harvesters know how to get in touch with us if mm-hmm. they want to do that, but people listening to this podcast who are not a part of our church mm-hmm. are certainly welcome to do that.
Right.
And what's the mechanism that they would use if they would sponsor? Should they contact Harvest or should they contact SIM directly? What would be the best
approach? The best would be to contact Harvest. I believe my contact information is on the website, Heidi@HarvestCharlotte.com, and then I can help somebody walk through the details. I'm happy to do that with anybody that's interested.
That's awesome, and we do want to see this happen. So in our closing thought, let me ask you one more question. Mm-hmm. So first mission trip.
Yep. Internationally.
Internationally. Yes, I need to add that. What would you say to others who might be considering a mission trip, or maybe they've never been on one and they're just a little uncertain about what may be involved? Any final words mm-hmm. towards them, maybe?
Yeah, two things. One, what I've learned for back here in how I now interact with other missionaries. That was very convicting for me. I used to say, hey, how was your trip? Oh, that's great, and move on, because I didn't know what to ask. The people that have said, hey, I don't know what to ask you, but I want to hear about the trip, it's really changed my perspective on how I will now interact with our missionaries and any others. And the second thing would be, if you don't feel it's the right time, don't feel guilt. Really go with what you think the Lord is calling you to do, but also don't let fear hold you back. Talk to people who have done it. Talk about your fears. Pray with someone and just see how the Lord leads. I haven't ever gone because of having young kids, and I don't feel guilt about that, but I have a complete peace about what the Lord allowed me to do this year.
Well, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for sharing your experience, and thank you for being willing to step out. It's awesome how God rewards that.
Praise God. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out about how you can donate to support the podcast.